It is my privilege this morning to introduce to you Izel Rodriguez. Izel is the director of the Global Ministries for the Florida Annual Conference. I've known several directors in that position over the last 40 years, and she's the prettiest one by far. A bunch of them are old men, is what they've been. But she is a not only working for the mission arm of the annual conference, but she's a missionary in her own right. Born in Cuba, she is part of the United States and part of who we are as a people. And it is my privilege to recommend and introduce her to you this morning. Izel.
Good morning. I hope you all are doing good in this cold morning. It was a surprise for me coming from Tallahassee. I didn't check the weather in Homosassa. What am I saying? I thought it would be warmer here, but it wasn't. Thank God I have found such a warm church. And what a beautiful testimony to the work that God is doing here and around the world you are. I had the privilege, because of my work with the Florida United Methodist Conference, of serving as a missionary in Angola for a year. And we've been back from Angola now for a year, and in Tallahassee. But during that time in Angola, I witnessed to the difference that support from churches like yours have made in the life of the East Angola Annual Conference of the Methodist Church. For more than four decades, the country of Angola in Africa was involved in initially an independence war followed by a civil conflict that took many lives and destroyed the country. And it also destroyed hope and destroyed also the life, or disrupted the life, of the Methodist Church there. The Methodist Church was targeted by the rebels because the president of the country was a United Methodist. So the rebels, during that conflict, killed pastors and pastoral families and leaders and destroyed churches and schools and mission stations. And after the war was over in 2002, Bishop Whitaker, the Bishop of the Florida Conference, and Bishop Kipungo from East Angola met together over a council of bishops, and they started a relationship, of a partnership. And because of that partnership, churches like yours in the last few years have sent funds through the annual conference offering to rebuild institutions in East Angola. And it is my great joy to share with you a few pictures of what your contributions have meant for the life of Angola, and particularly the Methodist Church. This is the first Methodist Church that was built back in the late 19th century by American missionaries in Angola. It was destroyed during the war, but it was again American missionaries, and I call missionaries this church, who helped rebuild that church, which is now the heart of Methodism for Angola. This next slide is an important high school where 2,000 Angolans were being educated before the war, and it was destroyed during the conflict. And again, with your support, that school is now up and running, and 900 students come every day to that school to receive an education. This is the seminary, or what was left of the seminary of the East Angola Annual Conference after the war. This is how we founded in 2006 when we went to Angola for the first time. And this is how it looks today. 4 years later, when we went back to Angola in 2010, it was completely rebuilt, and 150 leaders and pastors of the Methodist Church are receiving training and theological education in that place every day. It is a huge, and this is the orphanage, what was left of it, and this is, the next slide is how it looks today. Now, in that facility, when we arrived there, we found 60 young men and boys living together in a very difficult situation. All of this had been rebuilt with your support, but it's still a lot of, there's still a lot of things to be done. But when we arrived, there was one area that was hurting the life of these boys, and it was the fact that they didn't have a dining facility or a kitchen where they could prepare their meals. And soon after we arrived, the rainy season started, and they were not able to get dry wood, and they, for days they went without food. So we thought, again, we need to make a difference here. And with support from Florida, we were able to build, during that time, a dining facility and a kitchen for the boys of the orphanage. Before we left Angola, they had they made this video, and they asked us to promise that we will show the video of their gratitude at every church that I got to visit. So I'm just fulfilling what I promised. Let's watch it.
Estamos a fazer o trabalho do refeitório e imensamente estamos a agradecer a Deus por ter nos dado mais essa oportunidade. Na graça também do Senhor, que o trabalho vai bem, estamos a pedir que o Senhor continue a derramar mais bênção para que tarde ou cedo o trabalho tenha um bom sucesso. Mas por enquanto, de forma que estão a ver os jovens a trabalhar, o trabalho está por eles, na graça do Senhor, muitíssimo bem.
¿Cómo está la comida? Okay. Vamos a ver ahí. América. Vamos.
Remarkable young men. All of them are Christians. They're being educated by the Methodist Church in the principles of Christianity, and they are leaders of the church. They are the pastors, evangelists, the preachers, the Sunday school teachers, of that church that you saw in the picture. And in their last song, as they send their gratitude to you, they were singing, "Who is worthy of praise? The Lord is worthy of praise." Because they do have their hearts in the right places. But this is just one small example of what your involvement in mission service can do to transform people's lives. There are many other things happening in places like Cuba and Haiti, where the Florida United Methodist Church has relationships, covenant relationships. But there are also many things happening locally. And I know from Jack and from Pastor Mark, what a remarkable ministry you have here. What a powerful outreach ministry this church has. We also support the Church of Methodist Church in Florida supports missionaries all over the world so that the good news of salvation reaches the ends of the earth. Every missionary we support is doing an outstanding work in preaching, in healing, in teaching, in training, in feeding people in need. And sometimes these missionaries pay the ultimate price. A year and a half ago, one of the missionaries that we supported in the Florida Conference was killed in Afghanistan, along with 9 other missionaries who were providing medical and relief services. The examples of transforming mission services all over the world are countless. The list will go on and on and on. Now, how do we feed as individuals and as a community in this powerful picture of mission service? Well, there are 3 important things that we need to consider: the calling, the attitude, and the rewards of service. Let's talk about the calling. We all have been called to be part of God's plan for the transformation of the world. Whether abroad or in our own communities, God has called us to be part of His mission in a particular way. God has called some of us to be pastors. Are there any other pastor here than Pastor Mark? No? Aren't we just happy that we didn't work called to be pastors? That's a hard job right there. But some of us have been called to be missionaries, long-term or short-term. Some of us have been called to be administrators or to provide prayer support for the mission of the church. That is so vital. Some of us have been called to provide financial support or to be encouragers. But it certainly, with all certainty, God has called all of us to do something in missions. And I'd like to share with you a personal story because it is a great illustration. 10 years ago, God called my parents out of Cuba to serve as long-term missionaries in Honduras. The neat thing is that at the time, my father was 78 years old and my mother was 72. And we said, into long-term mission, how long do they expect to live? Well, for 4 years, my mother, a retired pediatrician, provided health medical services to an impoverished community. And my father, at 78, around the age that Abraham was called out of the Chaldean land of the Chaldeans to go into Canaan, my father planted 2 new churches and built 60 houses for displaced people of Hurricane Mitch. And they actually left Honduras because my mother fell and broke a vertebra. Is that how you say? A bone in the back. At the time, I thought, and my brothers thought the same, that it was insane for a couple in their 70s to go into long-term mission service. But I thought that until I went to Honduras years later and I saw firsthand the fruit of their labor. The many lives that were transformed, healed, saved. The people they inspired to go into mission service. The glory that the name of Christ received in that place. The communities that were transformed. For me, it was a powerful lesson. And I am sure that for many of you who probably are now, you look like you are enjoying retirement happily ever after. I have to tell you this. Retirement doesn't mean retiring from the work of the kingdom. So you never know what God will come up with, do you? We need to be aware at every stage of that, at every stage of our lives, God has a call, God has a place for you and me to fully participate in His plan. The second point is the attitude. In whatever capacity we serve, we are not doing anything more than we were supposed to do anyways. In the reading of this gospel this morning, we heard, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only, only done our duty.'" Friends, in fulfilling God's mission, we are not doing anything extraordinary. The only extraordinary thing already happened, that was Jesus Christ coming to us. This is just part of what being Christian is all about. If we are followers of Christ, we are supposed to do what Christ has asked us to do. And in doing so, we need to keep the attitude of the servant, not the attitude of the master. My father used to say, he has now moved on to the eternal mansion, but he used to say, "Give the glory to God. He is the only one that can handle it." And it's really true that we don't know it, what to do with glory, so we better leave it for the Lord. Keeping humbleness and obedience to the call, keeping ourselves humble and obedient to God's call will take us closer to the feet of the cross. And at the feet of the cross is where we will hear clearly what God's will for us is. I like the verse from the Psalms, I think it is, that says, "Not to us, Lord, not to us." Can you finish that line? "But to your name be the glory." To your name be the glory. The third point is the rewards of service. There's great satisfaction in being collaborators of God for the transformation of the world. In fact, there's no greater joy than the joy that we experience when we follow Christ and give ourselves for others. When we were preparing to go to Angola for that year, my husband and I were preparing. Our kids had already said that they were not interested in coming with us. But for a year or so, we were working on visas, and the process was really lengthy. And we spoke about the whole thing every day at home. And one day, my teenage daughter, who had already said that she wasn't going, came to me and said, "Mom, the more I hear you, the more I feel God is calling me to give up my self-centered life in service to others." And she said, "I feel so strongly that God is calling me to go to Angola with you that I feel that my heart will break into pieces if I can go." Well, we were able to bring her along. She went as an individual volunteer. And in Angola during that year, her responsibilities included watching over the kids. The kids were constantly sick with malaria. It was a very we lived in a very rural setting, and malaria was very prevalent. So she would do the tests for malaria on the kids, and she would oversee that they took their treatments and all that, and kind of cook for them and for the sick and all that. Well, long story short, during that year, her transformation was so radical that when she came back to the States, she left her career and started into the nursing program from scratch. She's now taking the prerequisites to the nursing program. It's going to be a long journey, But her long-term goal is to go back to Africa and serve as a long-term missionary nurse. Because the joy that she experienced in serving Christ by serving His children is a joy that she will not find anywhere in the world. And so you, my brothers and sisters, when you reach out to those in need, you will be filled with holy joy that will last for eternity. And this is what awaits for us. One day, when we see Christ face to face, when all nations and all tribes gather together to worship the Lamb, and we all kneel down before Him, we will hear Him say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat." Don't you do that here in your community? "For I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in." Thank you, by the way. That's for me. "I needed clothes," will say the Lord, "and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." May we all hear the sweet voice of our Lord and Savior pronouncing those words. God bless you all.